This week on The Advice Show.
I think we have to accept there may well be some risk for consumers in targeted support, but the opportunities for the number of consumers that are not currently served by any support in relation to investment, we think are greater. And so I don't think it will ever be perfect.
But first, a quick word from our sponsors.
But today is VE Day. The war is over.
The newly crowned queen waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has
tearing landed. Down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Capital at risk.
Hello and welcome back to The Advice Show with me, Julian Bogle. We're joined today by Laura Dawes, Head of Authorisations at the FCA. Laura, thanks so much for coming in to join us today.
Thank you, Julian. Really pleased to be joining you
today. Yeah, no, we really appreciate it. You took over your current brief in 2022. It's been something of a whirlwind for the FCA and the rest of us since then. What's it been like since you took over that brief?
It's definitely been busy.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've had, it's nearly 4 years now, actually, since I moved into the role. And we have been working a lot in authorisations and more broadly across the FCA to improve the way that we work with industry. And particularly in authorisations around how we deal with processing the applications we receive.
Mm. And how is the FCA moving to speed up authorisations? I understand that it's sort of a crucial part of the sort of growth initiative that you guys are trying to support at the moment.
Yeah, so we see that authorisations and the speed at which we can process authorisations as being something that's really key to supporting growth. And we've been doing a lot of things over the last few years and continue to do those to improve the pace at which we can process the applications we receive. So that includes things like improving the application forms that people use so we get the data right at the first time, to more recently committing to shorten the timelines in which we process the applications. So we have agreed to work to shorter statutory, proposed statutory timelines and also some voluntary targeted timelines with the aim of improving the pace of the authorisation process. So to give an example, we will be working to a target of processing complete applications for authorisation, so new firm authorisation, within 4 months. And what we've also been doing alongside that is improving our engagement with firms as they're looking to approach the gateway for authorisation. So we rolled out the pre-application support initiative for wholesale firms a number of years ago. But in the last year, we've expanded that to all wholesale firms, crypto assets, payments, advisor firms and a number of others. One of the areas that we've been also providing pre-application support meetings and discussions is in relation to targeted support.
Mm. So we're. I think we'll come on to that in a bit,
yeah.
If that's okay. What was the sort of average length of time when you took over, John? If you can remember off the top of your head.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
But longer than 4 months.
Yes. But what I am familiar with is what our performance was in the last quarter. And, you know, we publish the authorisation metrics regularly. And against current statutory timelines, we were meeting those targets across all application types in 99% of applications. But specifically with new firm authorisations in the last quarter when we published, we were doing 50% of those new firm authorisations within 4 months. And next week, we'll be publishing our data in relation to the last quarter's performance. And what we'll be doing is actually showing how we will be performing against the new faster targets that we've set for ourselves.
So how your boss I was listening to on a podcast yesterday was saying that the FCA wants to move away from introducing new rules for stuff. How will that impact authorizations in your view?
Um, I don't think it necessarily will impact authorisations. We have to apply the rules that are already in existence and any other ones that are introduced. And then in relation to things like Consumer Duty, for example, which is very much focused on outcomes rather than rules, we will consider how firms are applying Consumer Duty or thinking about Consumer Duty, whether that be as a new firm approaching authorisation or, for example, if a firm's looking to move into a new product by varying permission. And so we're already working in an area where we're thinking about outcomes much more about than rules.
When on a practical level, then, when it comes to getting authorised, what advice would you give to advisors or wealth managers about how they can get authorised quickly?
So I think there are a few things. One is there's a lot of information that's available on our website, and one of the things we've been doing is increasing the amount of information that is available there in terms of what we expect and what we kind of would want firms to have thought about before they approach an application. The other is take advantage of the pre-application support service. Those meetings are beneficial for firms and for us. So in the way they benefit firms, they can have a conversation with us about what they're thinking of applying for, and we can talk to them about what we would expect to see in that application. But also it means that we have an understanding of what a firm might be approaching us with when they do apply. And I think the thing it's probably worth saying, and I don't think I've said it so far, is those meetings are actually free. And so we'd really suggest that people take advantage of those, because what we do is try and ensure that the same people speaking to a firm in the pre-application meeting will be the people assessing the application.
To try and be continuous
with the idea that it will speed up the process, but also, you know, there's a relationship built with between the firm and the team before they come.
When you first came into the role, there was a lot of talk about phoenixing and people who perhaps shouldn't have been in the industry getting banned and then returning. The FCA seems to have sort of cut that out. How has that happened, or is that something you guys are still concerned about?
It's something that we will still consider when we approach a gateway assessment, and we will want to make sure that firms are not using, or individuals are not using the opportunity of a new firm authorisation or a change in control to step away from liabilities to consumers. I mean, I think everyone in the industry has an interest in making sure that consumers are protected and that liabilities don't fall to be paid by the FSCS, for example, to which everyone contributes. And so it is something we still consider when we're looking at applications. And if we have concerns about that, we will address those with the applicants.
And so why don't we come on to the targeted support then, the sort of big initiative that is set to come in from April?
Yeah.
How is that looking? I mean, how many firms have applied for authorisation?
So we've not had any firms apply for authorisation yet, because the gateway doesn't open until, I think we're anticipating opening in March. We do have a number of firms that have been accessing the pre-application support service in preparation for the gateway opening, because slightly differently to just general new firm authorisations, this is a new process. And so we've been meeting a number of firms. I'm sure you appreciate I can't say who we've been meeting.
Yeah.
And we've often been meeting them on a number of occasions. And I guess it's probably worth saying, even for the other pre-application support, we would do that. It's not just a one meeting and we will stop there. But the aim of those meetings is to help firms be ready to submit applications when the gateway is open. And we've got a desire, to the extent that we're able to make decisions as quickly as possible once we've got those applications.
And how extensive do you expect take-up to be once the application portal?
I think that's very hard to say at the moment.
Yeah.
As with any new perimeter opening, we can make best guesses based off the firms that we've been speaking to. But sometimes we see things come in a slower wave than a big wave to begin with.
Yeah. And I mean, the regulator said before Christmas that it probably wouldn't be perfect in its initial iteration. Is there any period of time where we can expect it to be perfect and sort of a ideal product for customers across the board?
I think perfect isn't something that actually exists.
Okay.
And I think we have to accept there may well be some risk for consumers in targeted support. But the opportunities for the number of consumers that are not currently served by any support in relation to investment, we think are greater. Mm. And so I don't think it will ever be perfect. You can't get perfect in any space of life. Mm. But we are confident that it is something that will benefit consumers. And we see it as part of a continuum of that support that consumers will then be able to access in relation to targeted support and the more traditional advice that we've all been used to.
Yeah. I mean, the start of this year has obviously seen a lot of talk about AI and its impact on wealth management and the markets in general. I understand you yourself did a sort of few month long course at Oxford Business School
yes.
in AI. What did you learn from that and why did you undertake that course?
I'll deal with the second bit first, if that's okay.
Sure.
It was something that I was really interested in, both from a personal perspective and work perspective. I was conscious of the fact that the world was changing and perhaps I didn't know enough about that myself. And I wanted to get a grounding in the sort of history, the ethics, and bring myself more up to speed.
Is that what it did? It wasn't just covering the technical aspect?
It wasn't covering the technical aspect. The course covered sort of right back to Alan Turing.
Oh, wow.
And then how machine learning and the new generation of artificial intelligence and has come about. It also considered application in different industries. As if, I guess that's why I took the course, both from a personal interest but also relevant to work. And then we've been thinking, obviously, in the FCA about how that applies to industry but also to ourselves.
Mm. And I mean, how is that going to impact targeted support, do you think? The AI piece, do you think it will?
Undoubtedly, yes. How, I think, is almost impossible to say. And I say that because the ways in which progress or developments are happening at such pace in relation to AI, so generative AI and agentic AI, I think we're learning about the way in which it works or could be applied almost daily and every week. And so trying to predict the future of what that looks like, I don't think I'm prepared to put myself on the line for that.
Wouldn't be sat here perhaps if you were. Simplified advice is obviously was the second bit of the advice guidance boundary review that came out at the time that we're sort of expecting the consultation to be returned at the end of next month. What are you expecting from that and when might people be expecting to use simplified advice, if at all?
I'm not in a position to actually outline what people can expect at the moment in that consultation. But what I can say is that it will cover, obviously, simplified advice, and it will also pick up on some of the other things that we have been talking about at the FCA, including sort of one-off and ongoing advice. And so firms can expect it to cover those three things, but what it will say, I'm not in a position to say at the moment.
So wait until the end of March is the message then.
I think so.
Consolidation review then.
Yes.
Why don't we come on to that? The aftermath of that. I think some people were surprised by how sort of perhaps toned down it was. What was your general takeaway from that?
So the consolidation review was about taking a look at the market where we had identified both in supervision but also from the change in control perspective, an increase in consolidation in the market. And we wanted to understand what that meant for firms and consumers. And the review wasn't about necessarily setting out new expectations, but understanding how firms were operating in relation to our current expectations. Mm. And so when we published the review, it wasn't about setting new guidance. It was about telling firms what good practice and bad practice we had seen, but also understanding and reiterating our expectations for firms when they're thinking about consolidation.
So it's particularly around incentives.
Yeah.
Can we dive into that specifically? What were the main findings around incentives and what concerns did the FCA find when it came to incentives?
So in relation to incentives, the some of the challenges that we identified in relation to incentives was that if firms did not consider incentives as part of the consolidation process, it could give rise to conflicts of interest for consumers. So, for example, where there might be incentives which operated such that there was pressure to move consumers into group products that might not be suitable for them. And so one of the things that we encourage firms through the review to do is ensure that they are thinking about incentives. And that also relates to, I guess, how conflicts of interest might arise as a consequence of incentives and the structures through that consolidation process. But the main thing, I think, is we would want firms to have incentives on their mind as they are approaching consolidation, so that it is something they consider as part of that process, to ensure that they aren't kind of setting things up in a way that give rise to conflicts, but perhaps walking into that without recognising it. It's sort of going into it open-eyed, that there's a risk that incentives might be misaligned.
So it's just a reminder to firms that they need to be...
Yes.
Did you see among firms that you surveyed that some of them had perhaps forgotten that?
Some firms were doing it very well and others weren't. And I think we found that throughout the review, that there were examples of good practice and there were examples where firms could do better. And that was in relation to incentives and some of the other things that we were looking at, for example, integration plans,
thinking stress test debt arrangements
Debt arrangements, thinking about the right senior manager capability for consolidated firms, which might have resulted in increased size. So all of those things. And I think it's one of those things where we, like I say, we identified good practice and where firms could improve, but in a range of different areas. And I have actually spoken at a number of different events where we've talked about it from a change in control perspective, because that's often also where we see consolidation
coming.
Could
you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, so the change in control process relates to where controllers of firms change. And that's often how firms approach consolidation, which is through a change of controller. And then they will look at integration potentially after that change in control. And so one of the things we look at, particularly in the change in control process, is debt structures. But also we will be engaging with our supervisory colleagues about discussions they might be having with the firms on their plans for integration post the change in control. Mm. And so that's an area where we work really, really closely with colleagues in supervision and authorisation.
And working closely with them, I imagine, what follow-ups can we expect around the consolidation review, if any?
So I think we will just continue to monitor those things that we have talked about. We've made our expectations of firms clear, and where firms don't meet those expectations, then we will intervene.
Yeah. Can we come back onto the AI piece, and particularly on the wealth management sell-off that we saw last week? What might the regulator do if sort of the big wealth managers in the UK see their share prices fall through the ground again as a result of people predicting that AI is going to come for advisors and wealth managers' lunch?
So I think the role of the regulator in that scenario is to make sure that we are understanding the impact of any movement in the markets for financial stability. We also will want to understand the financial resilience of those firms as a consequence of moves in their share price. We don't necessarily have a role in shoring up share prices.
Not, yeah.
That would be inappropriate.
Yeah.
But we would definitely want to understand what are the risks to the market, both for individual firms, but also for the market generally.
What appetite do you think there is among perhaps people who are already receiving financial advice, to go to a sort of semi-automated model or fully automated model? Or do you think people still trust the individual that sat across from them, perhaps in a situation like this?
I think it's mixed. I think they're
on age grounds or not.
I think it can vary, and I think some of it depends on how comfortable and familiar people are with the technology and how trusting they are of it. And some of that can be age and generational. Others can just be understanding. And I think what sometimes we see is that perhaps some people are too trusting of technology.
Yeah.
Irrespective of age and generation, and others don't trust it at all and prefer those interpersonal connections.
Yeah. Yeah, and perhaps similar to AI, there's been a big talk about private markets this year. Is the FCA going to become more demanding of alternatives managers? Have approval standards changed in the past 24 months for private equity, private credit or infrastructure managers?
So one of the things that we're doing is looking at the AFIM review, using an acronym, but yes, for alternative fund managers, yeah. I should say, rather than using the acronym. But we are looking at some of the requirements in relation to those and considering over the course of the year where we can set the rules appropriately for those, considering both whether there are areas where we need to increase requirements, but also clearly where there are areas in which perhaps we can reduce the burden that we place on some of those firms.
Yeah.
And that's consistent with what we've been doing more broadly in the FCA and thinking about things under our current strategy, which is very much about thinking about where the right balance of risk is.
Yeah. Where do you think the right balance of risk is, or does it depend on person to person?
I think that is something that we're exploring, and it depends. You know, if you're talking about consumer, that very much depends person for person as to what is the appropriate risk for them to take.
Yeah.
But then you have to think about it from a market perspective, and that's what we'll be doing as an FCA.
Okay. Yeah. The FCA also released information last week saying that it hopes to sort of bring AI appointed representatives into the scope of the SMCR regime.
Mm-hmm.
How might that change your role in terms of authorizations? I mean, a lot more people in scope of supervision, perhaps.
Yes. So within the role of authorizations, we already deal with the appointed representatives notifications, and also currently assess under the old approved persons regime, which AR approved persons are currently assessed under. So there will be some change. Because it will bring it under the SMCR regime rather than the approved persons regime. But how that will work in practice, we'll have to work through as the proposals are taken forward.
Cool. Fantastic. Laura Tors, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Julie.
But today is VE Day. The newly crowned queen waves from the Belt.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has
tearing landed. Down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web. Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Capital at risk.